So I'm going to pray for Lizzie as she brings God's word to us. Lord, thank you for Lizzie. Thank you for all that she is and all that she does and all that she means to us here. And thank you, Lord, that you've given her voice back, that you've healed her and restored her. And we pray, Father, that the word that she has to share with us today, Lord, you would so deeply into our hearts that it may bear fruit for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lizzie and Gareth, for this opportunity to stand in front of your beautiful children. You've entrusted me with your children this morning. So I want you this morning to imagine your kids walking to school on a hot summer day. As they pass the house, they find a bottle of cool water, so they take with them for the journey. Along the way, they come to another house, and they see fruits of apples stand just along outside the house. They pick the fruit as well along the journey. Mind you, these houses are not houses of people that you know or you've never, they're not your friends or people that you know. They go to school with a hot water, with a cool boat water, with fruits in the bag. This was my life. I grew up in Malawi, and I went to a boarding school called Livingstonia Secondary School. It was based up the hill, so you had to walk there at least 4 hours. And walking up there with your backpack full of stuff for your boarding stuff, it was so difficult on a sunny day. So I used to carry them. I used to, every time I'll pass, I'll find a bottle, would pick and would take. That wasn't stealing, by the way. Here, I'm sure you would call it stealing. But there's something that we call Ubuntu. Ubuntu is an ancient African word which could mean humanity to others. Could I have the spelling for Ubuntu so that people can know, probably? So that's how we pronounce it. Ubuntu could mean humanity to others, but that translation would be just because we always want to translate a word in a foreign language into a word or a phrase that is familiar to our own language. However, Ubuntu doesn't translate well in one word. Ubuntu can be translated as human kindness, but its meaning is much bigger in scope than that. It embodies the connection, community, and mutual caring of all. A sentence will provide a better understanding. Ubuntu is more of a concept or philosophy. It means, I am what I am because of we or are. I am what I am because of who or are. So a person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened that others are able and good. For he, she has proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he, she belongs in a greater whole and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished when others are tortured or oppressed. Probably Archbishop Desmond Tutu would explain it better, what Ubuntu is all about.
In our country, we've got something called Ubuntu. When I wasn't crazy, I said, Ubuntu. This person has Ubuntu. Because in our culture, there is no such thing as a solitary individual. We say a person is a person through other persons. That we belong in in the bundle of life. And I want you to be all you can be. Because that's the only way I can be all I can be. I need you. I need you to be you so that I can be me. And that's why, you see, when you dehumanize another, whether you like it or not,
thank you. That's Ubuntu. I need you to be you so I can be me. When we want to give praise to someone, like he said, we say, you know Ubuntu. So I say, hey, Lizzie, you are no Ubuntu. Hey, Lizzie, she's so generous. She's so hospitable. You are friendly. You are caring and compassionate. You share what you have. It is to say, my humanity is inextricably bound up in yours. We belong in a bundle of life. No one is alone. Does that sound familiar to you, this concept? I want us to read John 13, 1 to 17. Forgive me, I'll be cruising through. So Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. And he says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his world who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, you are going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing. But later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I'm your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. If I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you, very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. How many would you agree that Jesus must have been African? Well, at least he's practicing Ubuntu, isn't it? An important aspect of demonstrating Ubuntu in a part of the world where food is often scarce is eating together. I've heard that as much as 80% of the gospel's accounts are made up of Jesus either going or coming from a meal. The passage from John took place, the one I've just read, took place during a meal. Maybe Jesus was a foodie. But why is it? What is it about eating, sitting down for a meal shared with others, not in your car, having a sandwich or a burger. What is it important? So eating to connect. In the Old Testament, Israel's yearly calendar was punctuated by feasts and celebrations. Deuteronomy 16 sets out how to celebrate Passover, the festival weeks, and the festival of the tabernacles. For the festival of the tabernacles, the instructions say, celebrate for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your flour, and your wine press. Be joyful at your festival, you and your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. Eating is something we do together. It is a way we connect, even after a hard working day. We eat together to connect. Life today is very different from biblical times. Suburban life and the city, often very isolated. Even within our homes, family life is separated, physically separated into private rooms with TVs, computers, and internet access, all fragmented as we communicate on the phone, maybe on an app with people far away, in preference to those who are under the same roof. My daughter has given up technology for Lent, Tia. Sadly, this is for her staying away from her tablet during meal times. A meal can be a time removed from the hustle and bustles of life, reserved for conversation, nourishment, both physical and relational. Jesus spent so much time with people because he knew the kind of connection that happens when people gather over a meal. Be a table that involves everyone through sharing and eating with people. Another aspect, eating to extend connections. Today's individualism and isolation is not just within our homes. It is across society. We all live close to someone who right now is suffering from intense loneliness. Many people feel that they lack connection and meaningful relationships. We Christians must learn from the biblical meals. We've got to learn to bring Christ's joy to our neighborhoods. But look closely who Jesus eats with. In Mark 2:15 tells us how Jesus was eating with his dinner with many tax collectors and sinners. Jesus lived in a society with strong social boundary settings, out with you could associate with. Eating out was like social boundaries had its own limitations. Who can you eat with? And where and how? You were supposed to know who you would eat with and who you couldn't eat with in Jesus' time. Jesus' choice of dinner partners demonstrated his teaching that no one is beneath us. No one. I take example of Liz and Gareth. They invite us all, I'm sure each and every one of us, got an invitation to their vision nights where they prepare a table for us to enjoy. I met them in Stockport. I didn't know them before. They invited me to their house. I felt so home. I really enjoyed the time I spent with them. In fact, they communicated to us the vision night, and to which I got hold of what they're doing and I wanted to join in. It is through a meal. When Jesus changes you, it is not for you alone. It is you for the community. Our love and sharing has to be contagious. Our mission is to follow the mission of the one who sent us, you know? The way of the people of God is to live out our mission. It's by reflecting that, the love of God, to our world within community. We need to share our tables with people who are in our lives and yet far from God, you know? And then another aspect is eating to discover and learn. When Jesus himself wanted to explain to his disciples what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory. He gave them a meal. We know it as the Last Supper. When Jesus appears to his disciples after his death, he asks them, come to me, let's have breakfast. It's in the Bible. He wanted them to recognize him again. Sharing time with others is a great way to exchange and learn. The environment promotes questions and discussions. We see in John 3, we hear of how Nicodemus, a Pharisee, who had some questions for Jesus. You know, now the Pharisees thought, you know, they were better than everyone else. Remember the Pharisee, the description of the Pharisee in Luke 18:11. He says, standing by himself, praying, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. That's a Pharisee. They were teachers of law. They knew everything. It was a big step, a huge, big, fat step for Nicodemus to come to Jesus and ask. So he went round to his house one night for a chat. And you can assure that food was a major part of their conversation, as he, Jesus, answered all the questions Nicodemus had. These questions are big. I have a friend called Maya. She's from Bosnia. Maya came here with one child, but she told me she had four children. I invited her. Maya, could we come for a lunch? For 2 months, Maya turned down my offer. And then one day, she said, Liz, I'm coming. So I said, yeah, let's come. Come. We met in a restaurant in Altrincham. Because she covers herself. She doesn't wear a Punjabi, but she covers mostly herself. So we sat at a corner in the restaurant. Maya said to me, so tell me about your life. And I began telling her, I don't know, for some reason. I told her how I came here. I told her how my parents died, how my father died, how my mother died. I told her how my brother died. And Maya was like, oh, can I tell you something? I said, yeah, go on. She started telling me her story. She lost 4 children. And as she's telling me this gruesome, awful killing of his, Jesus, of her daughter, she said she was hiding at the corner and these people came and she was holding her daughter, hoping that this child does not cry. And these guys came. He started chopping off the ear of her son, and then chopping off another ear. And then she was there trying to cover her baby. She's like, this one must survive. And then she said to me, Lizzie, tell me now, tell me. How can you still love God? Tell me. You lost your father. You, after all these things, how can you say you love God today? Where is God? She said. In ministry, our goal is to make connections. The best ministry happens when a relationship is formed and when people are able to come together to discuss their lives. You know, the table provides that opportunity, you know, better than any other place because it facilitates the kind of connection, this kind of connection. You open up, you say, you share with people, otherwise, you wouldn't have shared with. So over the 5 weeks of Lent, we are presenting five different aspects using the acronym ABIT. As you've already figured out, the E in the second week is for eat. This week, we are presenting you with two challenges. The challenges are based on Luke 3, verse 11, when John tells the crowd coming out to be baptized, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise. Don't worry, ladies. I'm not asking you to give up your two tunics. This from Maxon's face. I'm not asking you to do that. What we are asking you to do is to demonstrate them, to follow the example of Jesus and recognize that we do not eat for sustenance alone only. There is more to food than fuel. This week, eat with someone within the church and also eat with someone outside the church. Open your door, share your table. As Christians, our life is guided by the question, what would Jesus do? If you want to connect with someone, what would Jesus do? The question is clear. He would invite them over for dinner. Jesus revealed the kingdom as he shared meals with others. Eating together in fellowship is an important foundation for our mission here in Greater Manchester and the city in Manchester. It is an opportunity for us to connect with each other as a new church and to connect with the community in the mission of our church. Our challenge to you this week is to reach out, connect, listen, and learn. Be sharing. By sharing your food and your love, you will demonstrate Ubuntu. You will show your understanding that humanity is interdependent on a personal level. People will say to you, you are no Ubuntu because I am what I am, because of who we all are. Shall we pray? So, Lord Jesus, we love you. We adore you and we honor you this morning, God, because we know there's none like you in all the earth, God. Thank you that you welcome us to the table, that in through sharing we know who you really are, that you are love, God. We know that things might happen, but God, we know you are love. You are calling us to this Manchester, to this wonderful city, to be a table that welcomes all. And Father, we adore you. We love you for that. Could you come once more, Lord, through our sharing this week? Could you come and show us who you really are? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.